you along with my buddy Tom Fairbanks, Tom engineering and producing the show. Tom, it seems like there's a change happening in the weather. It's a little cooler today and a little bit windy. So
even the possibility of a sprinkle here and there.
Just enough to dirty the windshield.
That's it. Time for another car wash.
There you go. All right. The Buckmaster Show and the Green Things Zocalo Village Studio were part of the Bustos Media Company, now with 5 radio stations under one roof here. This one's 1030 KVOI, The Voice. We have our worldwide live listening on my website, buckmastershow.com, also the place for all of our podcasts, going back to when we launched our radio program back in January of 2011. So that means we'll begin our 15th year with the radio show in January. And for me personally, this will be 37 years involved with Tucson radio and television. When we do our telephone interviews, our live line 790-2040, always welcoming your calls and comments. That is presented by Rincon Ventures Real Estate and Property Management. My guest media co-host today, Caitlin Schmidt, is here. Caitlin, former Arizona Daily Star reporter, and when she was at the Star, she won many awards, including 2019 Arizona Sports Writer of the Year by the National Sports Media Association for her ongoing coverage of gender-based violence in the University of Arizona Athletic Department. Her latest venture is called Tucson Spotlight, an online newsletter launched a couple of months ago now with another former Star reporter, Susan Barnett. Both Caitlin and Susan recently were working with Tucson Agenda. In our Friday Focus interview today, we welcome back the fire chief. Chief Ryan is here, Chuck Ryan, who celebrated in September his 5th year as heading up the Tucson Fire Department. Time flies, Chief. Great to see you.
Hey, Bill. Thanks. Good to see you, too.
How are things going? How would you, what's the overview if you had to, like, do a report for the council and say 2024 was a what kind of year?
Another super busy year for the Tucson Fire Department. We're on pace. Last year, we had just under 104,000 individual calls for service, for fire and EMS services here in the city. We're on pace to meet or beat that this year. Just a lot of different challenges out there right now. Fire activity, structure fire activity remains high in this city. Brush fire, wildfire activity remains high. And we're certainly dealing with some of the effects that we see from the fentanyl crisis and unsheltered houselessness. So,
and we've had Mike Garcia and some of the team, Mike's team at the 911 Center, and they seem to have really fixed a system where the calls, that the high priority calls go to the priority, and the not the calls that say, hey, my doctor appointment got canceled.
Right.
Could you send a paramedic over here to give me my checkup? Those kind of calls now, there's a way they're designating, you know, what's a priority.
Right, 100%. So, yeah, we have a great partnership with the Public Safety Communications Department. And so with the inception of the city's 311 system, which are, you know, citizen needs, resident needs, but don't require emergency response, calls that, because we have a generation or more of people who've been trained to call 911 for anything now, right? Mm-hmm. And so, and we've talked about this in the past. So now there is actually a tool that allows the dispatchers and the call takers to, not to turf the call is a different word, is not the right term, but to put the right work in the right hands, you know, mm-hmm. to give that resident what they really need. What they don't need an ambulance or a fire truck to take them to a doctor's office. They may need a medical Uber. They may just need a ride, right? Or to get a prescription refilled.
Right.
So by taking those calls off of our plates and certainly off of TPD's plates as well, it will, over time, it's going to be an evolution, but it will help to reduce the burden on our staff, because you really do reach a point where you get some compassion fatigue, mm-hmm. at some point when you expect one thing and you're met with another, mm-hmm. on a 911 call, and when you're seeing the repeated, I won't say misuse, but inappropriate use of 911 services, it can get a little frustrating.
And the word still is not out, I don't think, about 311.
Yeah, it's new, and it's I'm not 100% sure why. I'm not in charge of marketing, but it is out there, and I hope your listeners will look at it. There is an app. The city has a 311 app for mobile device users, and if they do happen to call 911 and their need is not emergent, they will be directed to 311. There's another element of it, if I could talk about it for a second. Mm-hmm. It's a tool that they have there called MD Ally. And this is sort of, it's not for the, my street has a bunch of potholes, that's a 311 call, right? Mm-hmm. Or there's a low-hanging branch or something like that. This is for the people who do need, hey, I'm not feeling real well, but I haven't had my medication in 3 days, you know, that kind of thing.
Sure.
And so, based on certain criteria that the call taker works through on public safety communication side, they will route that call to a service called MD Ally, which is like a nurse navigation system. Mm-hmm. And if they can help the person, they will, mm-hmm. right? If they can't, that call comes back to the 911 center and gets sent to police, fire, you know, mm-hmm. whatever it should be. Mm-hmm. But that also is a way, I wouldn't call it telemedicine, but it's a way, again, to get that caller to the right utilization, the right service to utilize, rather than, again, fire or police.
All right, let's bring in our friend Caitlin Schmidt. Go ahead, Caitlin.
You also have the TC3 program still as well to help cut down on some of these, right?
Correct, yeah.
How's that going?
It's they are super busy. it's going really well. That program, Tucson Collaborative Community Care, it's a lot easier to say TC3, right, is a partnership with the TMC Foundation and the team. We have a busy team. I call it their hive. They start on the second floor of fire headquarters downtown early in the morning, and then they're out in the streets and they're connecting. You know, when it started, and it started a few years before I became Tucson's fire chief, it started with a way to try to get repeat 911 callers, high utilizers, the right services, right? So some, you know, an elderly person is tripping and falling, or they're calling 911 because they're lonely or whatever. So it was, again, that effort to take a non-emergent call and get it to the right services, because the crews, our firefighters and paramedics are trained to be firefighters and paramedics, not social workers, right? Mm-hmm. This group has, there are firefighters and paramedics that work with them, but they're also nurses, social workers, what we call navigators, client navigators, and they help to connect people with the services that we can't provide them.
You know, that's something we don't talk about enough, that lonely people probably do wind up calling just to talk to somebody.
Yes. Uh-huh. Yeah, they do.
How are things going in the recruitment area? When I was growing up, every kid wanted to be a firefighter.
Yeah.
And, you know, we all, the boys and probably some of the girls, played with fire trucks and stuff. But things have changed dramatically. And you've talked and shared with us on our program before that when you thought about a career in the fire service, there was a lot of competition.
Yeah.
When there was one opening, there'd be hundreds of applicants in many departments.
Oh, yeah.
Things have really changed, Ryan, haven't they?
They sure have. You know, it's funny. I tell people this, and it's not just here in Tucson. It's a global issue. It really is. And I don't know if the pandemic really had a lot to do with it or not, but it seems to have been magnified since, you know, 2021, 2022. And whereas, you know, Tucson Fire 5-10 years ago was getting 1500, 1600 applicants for a 20 to 30 person recruit class, now we're getting 400 to 500. We're still getting a quality pool of applicants. It's just not the same. And as it was, and I'm on the board of the Metropolitan Fire Chiefs Associations, and I hear
that's the national organization of fire chiefs.
Yes,
right. Okay.
Of the largest cities in the United States and Canada. Okay. And I hear my peers saying the exact same thing. Some of them struggle just to fill a recruit class. Thankfully, we don't have that problem. We are good with that, but it's just the general pool of candidates is not what it used to be.
What do you think's going on?
I think it's a lot of things. I think the fire service has done a great job of educating people on the true dangers of the profession. In it, you know, separate and apart from doing dangerous stuff as part of the work, but the downstream results of that, you know, occupational cancer is the number one killer of firefighters in the United States and Canada, hands down. Certainly behavioral health issues arise, you know. And so as we have talked about that as an industry, what we haven't talked about at the same time is all the great rewards you get from this profession. We spend a lot of time talking about the negative, you know what I mean? And so yeah. I think that some people hear that and that turns people off. Like, holy cow, I have an 8% or 9% chance, higher chance of acquiring a cancer than somebody who does something far less dangerous for a living. Mm-hmm. Maybe I'll do the other thing, you know?
That's an important point, though, about the cancer, because the public, people would probably think, well, it's probably you'd get hurt or killed working a fire. But that's a small percentage, isn't it, that firefighters who actually perish in the line of duty.
That's very true. True line of duty deaths with respect to fire ground operations or highway operations, average about 90 to 100 nationwide every year. Still way too high, right? Still way too high. But firefighter cancers are now being caught earlier and in younger people. We have some folks in our department dealing with a cancer journey right now, and they're in their 30s and 40s.
Oh, boy.
Yeah.
That is so tough.
And the blessing, if there is one, is that we have a very robust occupational annual physical that they have to go through. And so things are being caught early when they can be addressed rather than when they get too far downstream.
Mm-hmm. Here's Caitlin Schmidt.
I mean, there certainly is a lot of research going on in this area. Are you all working with the U of A or any other research groups to kind of study these situations?
Yes, Caitlin, we are. We have a very good relationship with the University of Arizona, Dr. Jeff Burgess and his group. In fact, we have a captain who is dedicated full time to work with Jeff and his group of researchers. And they travel the country onboarding firefighters into this study called the Firefighter Cancer Research Study. And it's less for the people who are in it now than it is for the people who are going to be in the profession 5, 10, 15 years from now. So we can really track and trend what's going on with health effects of firefighting and what things we can do on the mitigation end to try to, you know, abate some of the potential bad effects later.
Do the recruits go through a vetting process for mental health as well?
Yeah, all of our recruits go through a physical abilities portion of the hiring process.
You've got to be able to.
There are certain minimal physical requirements.
Sure, of course, yeah.
And we will, just as an aside, and I'll finish answering your question in just one second, we do with our recruit classes, we offer training, physical training at the academy, out at the Public Safety Training Academy several times so that they can get stronger before they even have to actually test, right? So we show them what they're going to be doing in the test, and then they can
go on a weight program, lifting weights or whatever.
Yep, yeah, 100%. And they work. We have peer fitness trainers that'll work with them to get them ready for the test. And if they actually pass the test during the course of the training, that counts.
Yeah,
win, right?
Yeah.
So the other piece is certainly a background investigation. There are certain things that will disqualify you from being a firefighter and a paramedic in a background. If you have a criminal history, you don't have a driver's license, things like that. And we also do a complete psychological profile on through a vetted firm on every recruit applicant. So and some people candidly don't make it through that. So because we have people, we're going to be encountering people at their very worst when they're helpless, when we're in their homes. And so we want only the people with the highest levels of integrity, the most trustworthy people, and the most fit people we can get.
And the number going through your graduation coming up in a week or so?
24. Yep.
And that brings your total staffing of people out on the street to?
We have an authorized headcount of 645 sworn firefighters. We are actually, the city manager allows us to hire a little bit above that headcount in order to stay ahead of natural attrition.
Mm-hmm.
So retirement, people leaving, spouse gets a job out of state, things like that.
Mm-hmm.
So we're at or around 645 almost all the time.
And the paramedic corps?
Same.
Within that?
We have about 150 paramedics who are also cross-trained as firefighters. And we have we are constantly running people through paramedic training classes. So we've been very lucky to receive 3 years in a row now very sizable federal grants to support our paramedic training. So we're putting 18 to 20 people at a time through Pima College's paramedic training program.
All right, let's take a break right here, Chief. I want to talk about my favorite bakery in town, Mona's Danish Bakery. And Caitlin, you love Mona's, don't you?
I do love Mona's.
Mona's located northeast corner of Swan and Sunrise. I'll be stopping by, say hello to Steve tomorrow because I need a couple of pieces of carrot cake. Oh my gosh. Their carrot cake is so fantastic. And the breads that they do, outstanding. And they're getting ready for the holidays. They had a great Thanksgiving. That means they're accepting orders for your particular dessert that you would like on the table Christmas Eve or Christmas Day. And check out their website, monasdanishbakery.com. You can order through the website, or better yet, make a visit, and you will, your biggest difficulty will be, what do I want in that very tempting bakery case loaded with goodies? Northeast corner, Swan and Sunrise. Take a break right here. Chief Ryan sticks around for another segment, as does Caitlin Schmidt. It's Buckmaster on a Friday.
Family-owned Jam Culinary Concepts and its family of restaurants has you covered for your special event. Jam caters anytime, anywhere, any size group, and any type of cuisine. Vero Amore, authentic Neapolitan pizza, and Noble Hops. Craft beer and fine fare are synonymous with quality. Call 954-1468 or log on to jamculinaryconcepts.com.
Buckmaster Show listeners know that I'm passionate about travel. When I'm ready to take off on a new adventure, my air travel begins and ends at Tucson International Airport. TUS is nonstop for our community and Southern Arizona. So remember, to fly local, fly Tucson. Tucson International is nonstop for Tucson. More at flytucson.com.
Take the Regional Transportation Authority's brief survey of its draft $2.46 billion Regional Transportation Plan. The 20-year RTA Next Draft Plan includes roadway, transit, safety, bicycle, pedestrian, and environmental improvements for the greater Tucson region. The RTA Board will consider your feedback before it prepares a final draft for voter consideration as early as November 2025. We invite you to take our brief survey at rtanext.com.
Nestled in the foothills of the Santa Rita Mountains of southeastern Arizona is Equine Voices and Sanctuary. Home to horses and burros that were rescued from neglect, abuse, abandonment, and slaughter. Please consider Equine Voices Rescue and Sanctuary with a financial gift of support and estate remembrance. Learn more about our vision and values at equinevoices.org.
Are you ready to immerse yourself in a diverse culture while wandering through bustling markets, sampling exotic cuisines, or forging connections with people from all walks of life? Well, Bon Voyage Travel is here to plan your perfect journey. Whether you're setting off on a solo expedition, embarking on a group adventure, or simply dreaming of far-off destinations, we can help create your custom experience. The road ahead is filled with endless possibilities. Visit bvtravel.com to find your specialized Bon Voyage Travel advisor today.
Are you happy with the news you get? While not all news is good news, you know good reporting when you see it. Check TucsonSentinel.com every day for breaking news and investigative reports. Have your say in the comments. It's all in TucsonSentinel.com, your local, independent, nonprofit news. You can rely on TucsonSentinel.com for solid reporting about immigration, Tucson and Pima politics, everything from the border to baseball. It's independent news without the spin. TucsonSentinel.com. We are watching Tucson.
Welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show and the Green Thing, Zocalo Village Studio, where we do our telephone interviews, the live line presented by Rincon Ventures Real Estate and Property Management. Caitlin Schmidt is here helping me in my interview today with Chuck Ryan. Chuck is the fire chief in the city of Tucson, and Caitlin, her newest enterprise, about 2 months old, doing very well, turning out a lot of content online, Tucson Spotlight, which is very easy to acquire or to log on, right?
Yep, TucsonSpotlight.org.
Uh-huh. And you are accepting folks who would like to help you out in
Absolutely.
Keeping it going.
That's right.
For a small amount of money.
Yep, that would be great. We have no paywall, but we can continue to be paywall free if people will help us if they can.
All right. Chief, what about the infrastructure for the department right now? What is your footprint looking like?
So we have 22 stations across the city, and we've in the process of several. This goes back to Proposition 101 here in the city, which was voted on in 2017, as I recall.
Public Safety Initiative,
yep,
right?
Yep, exactly. Mm-hmm. Yep, Safer City Initiative. Mm-hmm. And so we have basically been able to touch almost every one of our firehouses with some sort of improvement. Yep, mm-hmm. Dedicated to health and safety, to include 5-station rebuilds. So 2 of those have been completed, 2 are under construction, and 1 will be left to be completed probably in the next 2 years.
I was just thinking that when fire station design, it hadn't really changed, Chief Ryan, for decades. There probably are improvements now that bring it up to speed and into the 21st century.
Yeah. The biggest thing is, I mean, anytime you have to combine a living space with vehicles, right?
People, right.
And so if you look back across America, even, you know, not just here, anywhere, the older firehouses were basically, they looked like automotive garages, right?
Yes.
And so now with what we know about some of the stuff we were talking about a little while ago, the occupational hazards, diesel exhaust, all those things, to really separate, even though they have to be co-located, to separate the living and working areas from as many of the occupational hazards as we can.
So with special ventilation
special
system,
ventilation,
right? For the
double
exhaust.
Doors, yep, yeah. Exhaust removal, all that stuff. Making sure that we have equipment in the station so that the crews can wash their dirty work clothes and not mix and mingle it with their own personal clothes. You know, separate machines especially made to clean firefighting gear.
Is there still a pole that firefighters slide down?
So some of our stations, to include the downtown station, have multiple stories, although favor has kind of gone to the one-story concept.
Yes.
But in some places, you know, especially in urban environments where land is expensive and not necessarily plentiful, vertical's the only way to go.
Mm-hmm.
So, a pole does exist, and when we rebuild Fire Station 3, over off of Broadway in the university area, that will also go from a one-story, basically a single-family house is what it is now, to a two-story structure.
Is there a technique for a proper
There absolutely is, yeah.
Because
otherwise,
otherwise
it's a quick trip to the bottom.
Yeah. All right, let's bring in Caitlin Schmidt.
So we are getting ready to vote on another sales tax in the city of Tucson that's going to impact quality of life. I know some of that money sounds like it's earmarked for police. Is any of that going for fire as well?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. That's Proposition 414, which will be a mail-in election, a vote-by-mail election coming up in the spring here. Half-cent sales tax for 10 years to support. It's called the Safe and Vibrant City Initiative, and it will support all facets of public safety. So Tucson Police, Tucson Fire, Public Safety Communications, as well as we heard from the community about housing needs, community services, because the challenges we have here, and they're not different from what's faced in other major cities, really. And I know we think of ourselves sometimes as a small town, but we are the 33rd largest city in the United States. We are a major metropolitan area, and we have major metropolitan issues, and it's not just a one-shot solution. So Proposition 414 is built with, rather than the strategy behind it, which Chief Kazmar, Director Sharon McDonough, myself, were part of the architects of this. The strategy is intended to build buckets of money in broad categories that give flexibility to the spending as long as it stays within those dedicated categories. Whereas with Prop 101, at the time, it was the right thing at the right time, but the funding was very, very limited. It could only be used to build a new firehouse. It could only be used to buy so many squad cars. This gives the city manager, mayor and council, the department heads, a little bit more freedom as to put the money where it's needed at that time, because things are going to change over the course of the 10 years, right? And so we need to have a little bit of flexibility to direct the funds where they're needed at that time and into the future. And I will say this proudly, we as a city leadership team, have been very, very diligent with the Prop 101 money. And
there is oversight.
There is a tax oversight commission, mm-hmm. and there's going to be oversight for Prop 414 as well. Mm-hmm. And we have to work all the projects through them. So it's not just me or the police chief or the communications director making those decisions, mm-hmm. right? So the citizens have a say, and they've had confidence in us in the past, and I hope they'll have confidence in us going forward.
What are some of your wish list items?
Part of this is personnel. Right. Okay. Part of this tax initiative will help to fund additional positions. Mm-hmm. A city our size, Bill, really candidly needs somewhere on the order of 700 to 730 firefighters.
And you shared with us in the last segment that you have about 600 and
645.
Right.
So
you're a bit under.
We are a bit under. And when you look at our comparator cities
and we're so spread out here.
Well,
in Tucson.
Yeah, we are. We are. Our comparators.
As you well know, yeah.
Yeah. Our comparators for fire service, you wouldn't think of this, but they're Albuquerque is a mm-hmm. comparator. Omaha is a comparator. Portland, Oregon is a comparator. There's nothing like us really anywhere else in southern Arizona. So we have to look elsewhere. And when we look at our call volume, our city's demographics, what the NFPA, National Fire Protection Association, standards are with respect to effective firefighting forces and appropriate station deployment coverage, one of the other things in this tax package will be a new northwest infill station on the northwest side of the city, because frankly, folks, those crews are getting hammered. We have trucks running 14, 15, 16 calls in a 24-hour period.
Wow.
And it's not, it's just... It's service demand. And so the demand is exceeding the resources right now.
Mm. Caitlin, join us.
I mean, there has certainly been, a reckoning and more of an awareness of the psychological and emotional toll that fire service has taken over the years. I know that you guys have resources in place. What kind of support systems are our firefighters and paramedics looking at?
Oh, excellent question. So yes, we do have, we have several. We also, we mentioned our partnership with Dr. Burgess at the U of A on the cancer research. We also partner with Dr. Patricia Haynes, who is a clinical behavioral psychologist at the U of A, and she guides our internal program for what's called POST, Peer Operational Support Team. She does excellent training. She works with our folks. She also sees our people as a clinician, confidentially, of course. But the bottom line is we encourage people to get help right away. Right. Like, let's not have things fester. We support if somebody needs help. There's no stigma attached to it. There's no blame attached to it. We support them. We have mechanisms to take them offline for a period of time.
Yeah, I wondered about that, about being online. There'll be no questions asked.
Nope.
If you have to go offline, somebody has a mental issue.
Yep. 100%. 100%. Because, mm-hmm. you know, typically by the time folks get to a point where they're needing help. Right. Mm-hmm. And a lot of times it's not necessarily job related. It could be financial stressors, marital stressors, whatever. Right. But they need help and they're a valued employee and we've invested a lot in them. And so to just say, oh, you're having problems, you can't come to work this week. Sorry. No, that's not the answer anymore. So we have a very, I believe, a very generous employee assistance program.
We all know that law enforcement is tough on a marriage. I'm sure it could be the same with the fire service.
Yeah. Oh, 100%. The divorce rate, sadly, in the fire service is extremely high.
Is it really?
Yeah. And I think some of it, I'm sure, has to do with our shift schedule. We work 24-hour shifts, and that's sort of a national model. But mm-hmm. That if you don't have the right chemistry in your home relationship, if you're in a relationship, that your partner, your other person has to understand that you're going to miss Christmases. You're going to miss kids' baseball games. It's just part of the deal, you know, mm-hmm. and it's not for everybody, but the folks that can do it navigate it. The folks that can't struggle a little bit sometimes.
All right. It's very critical information with the season. It is the Christmas season, holiday season. This can be a tragic time of year for some. Give us some very simple tips, Chuck Ryan, Chief Ryan, that could save some lives right now.
100%.
Yeah.
If you have a live Christmas tree, please, please keep it watered and keep water in that basin. If you're going to go the live tree route, please do that. And it only lasts a couple of weeks. When that tree does not soak up any more water, the tree is done. It's done. And you got to get it out of your house. Yeah. Second thing, open flames inside. This is the time of year for candles. Candles are awesome. But if you have little kids or cats or dogs with big hairy tails like I do, candles are a risky thing to have, especially unattended. Don't leave them. If you're going to have them, keep them up high, away from combustibles. Please don't put them near drapes or anything, and extinguish them if you're leaving the room.
Yeah, putting candles on a Christmas tree is something that you think of from the Victorian era.
Yeah.
And hopefully people are not doing that.
I sure hope not.
Because the humidity level in some of our homes gets down to like 10, 15%, and those trees dry out so quickly.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
How about smoke alarms?
Smoke alarms, super critical, right? One outside every sleeping area, one for every other area of your house. Just don't put one in your kitchen because that will... You know, if you burn the food, that's going to trigger the smoke alarm, right? But, you know, if they're not hardwired, if they are hardwired, make sure you have a battery in there for a battery backup. If they're battery powered, definitely twice a year, change those 9-volt batteries or AA batteries out. Pick 2 days. Since we don't do daylight savings time here in Arizona, just pick 2 days that are 6 months apart, June 1st and December 1st, or June 1st and January 1st, whatever. Just find 2 days, put it on your calendar, put an alarm on your phone, and change those batteries.
And the electrical outlets, people have been using probably Christmas tree lights for many, many years. Check to see if some of those cords are frayed and need a replacement.
Check for the frayed cords, the ones that kind of light half the time and don't light the other half, that's a sign of a problem.
I have that vision of Christmas vacation.
Right.
The plug in there, and oh my goodness, what happened to the cat?
And the overloaded outlet thing is a big deal too. You know, if you put you have a 2-outlet plug in your wall and you put 2 power strips and with 8 things on them, and you know, they're only really designed to support 2 electrical devices, not 12.
All right. Caitlin Schmidt, Caitlin, you and your team are covering an area that rarely gets any coverage, the square mile of South Tucson.
Yes, Susan Barnett has been diligent about covering South Tucson. She's been to all of their city council meetings. We have a power shakeup over there, it seems. We have several new council members. They just appointed a new mayor. And the new mayor, Roxana Valenzuela, is one of the volunteers at Casa Maria Soup Kitchen. So I suspect that we will see a real focus on quality of life issues in South Tucson and improving things for residents.
How about their fire service?
Yeah, how about that fire service?
What about that, Chief?
You know, so
is a joint agreement, right, between the city and South Tucson. How does it work?
So the city of South Tucson has their own fire department and their own police department.
Okay.
They have a single station located pretty much in the middle of their
one square mile.
Yep. And for years, prior to me getting here, we operated under an agreement with them whereby if they needed help, we would send the cavalry, basically, right? Because they can handle a one station fire department can handle one station issues.
Yeah. A house fire.
Yeah, small ones, right? But if it's significant, a commercial building fire, things like that, they're going to need help. The challenge we were facing was for a period of time, there were some properties in the city of South Tucson that were posing a significant challenge for us, that were having repeated fires. The old Spanish Trail Motel, the Greyhound Park fire, the Crossroads Restaurant fire. I mean, there's been a series, right? And what happens is, their folks show up and do what they can do, and then they need more help. And all of that help, all of it, was coming from the city of Tucson. And so that means, and a house fire doesn't, or a building fire, It doesn't take 15 minutes and end. It's an hours long operation.
Right.
And so we were having our people committed for hours to another city's issue.
Uh-huh.
Okay. And while I'm all about being a good neighbor, I have an obligation to the 565,000 people in the city limits of the city of Tucson.
Sure.
So the prior city manager, Mike Ortega, and I was arm in arm with him on this. We tendered notice to the city of South Tucson's leadership that we were going to terminate the what was known as an automatic aid agreement.
Oh.
And so that expired a couple of months ago. And so now we operate with them in what's called a mutual aid arrangement. And what that means is if they need help, they contact Public Safety Communications because they're on the same dispatch as we are. Mm-hmm. And they say, hey, we need X. We need three engines and a ladder truck or whatever. We will always support them when we have the resources available to do so, and it's not going to put a drain on the rest of the resources in the city. So based on what's going on at that particular moment in time, we will send what we can. If we cannot meet what they need, then they have to reach out. The communication center handles this end of it, reaches out to other area fire agencies, Rural Metro, Drexel Heights, whatever. Can you provide whatever the needed resource is to help in this event? So it's not 100% reliant on the Tucson Fire Department anymore.
So if you've got something going on in the city, you may not be able to service them.
Correct.
Yeah. Let's go to John on the live line presented by Rincon Ventures Real Estate and Property Management. John, you're with the fire chief, Chuck Ryan. Go ahead.
Oh, that is super. I was wondering who to get a hold of in yourself or in your department. I had seen some water rescue equipment my sister had sent me some pictures of, and I thought maybe they might be good in fast water rescue that you have sometimes. Is there a particular person I would ask for to dialogue?
If you wanted to do that, the best way to get a hold of us is through an email, and it's TucsonFireQuestions@TucsonAZ.gov. Altogether, TucsonFireQuestions@TucsonAZ.gov. And from there, it'll go into our inbox and we'll get it directed to the right person.
And respectfully, there's not actually a person I could actually call by phone, or real person, instead of you trying to email.
Go the email route.
Okay.
Okay.
Okay. Thank you, John, for the question. All right, Caitlin, we're going to have to wrap it up here. Anything that you would still like to cover with the chief that we haven't talked about?
I think we hit a lot.
And chief, is there some item that you would like to bring up with our listeners here before we say goodbye?
I just want to say that I really appreciate, and speaking on behalf of all of the men and women of the Tucson Fire Department, appreciate the community's support. Wish everybody happy holidays and be safe in their travels.
And again, if someone does have an emergency, it's 911. But if it is not an emergency, you can get some wonderful resources by dialing 311.
Absolutely. Yes,
sir. All right. Chief Ryan, I hope you and yours have a wonderful holiday season. Always a pleasure to have you on our program.
Thanks, Bill. So great to see you again.
Thank you very much. Okay, Caitlin, stick around. I want to talk a little bit with you on a couple of news items. And coming up in a bit, we'll have Weekend Watch, which is presented by our sister station right here at Bustos Media, our very popular station, 101.7 The Drive.
Dine in or take out authentic Neapolitan wood-fired pizza at Vero Amore, where every flavorful pizza, pasta, and panini are homemade using the finest local and imported ingredients. Vero Amore, Plaza Palomino at Swan and Fort Lowell, and on Dove Mountain in Marana, plus a full catering menu and mobile pizza truck for parties and events. Vero Amore, on the web at veroamorepizza.com.
The Friends of Pima Animal Care Center is the nonprofit partner to our Pima County Animal Shelter. We grant critically needed resources to PACC so that it can continue the amazing life-saving progress it has made in recent years. Your generosity helps us find homes for abused, neglected, and abandoned animals at PAC. Learn how you can help at friendsofpacc.org.
The Green Valley News and Sarita's Sun cover two of Arizona's most desirable communities. The News and Sun's media reach 75% of the region through newspapers, websites, social media, video, newsletters, and more. They also produce more than a dozen print and digital magazines annually for an audience of 70,000. Find them at gvnews.com. The Green Valley News and Sarita's Sun, covering your hometown.
Hi, this is Irene Coppola, President and CEO of the Better Business Bureau serving Southern Arizona. The BBB sets the standards for marketplace trust by engaging with and educating consumers and businesses. The BBB is the resource to turn to for the objective, unbiased information on businesses offering national and local consumer services online and in person. Learn more about the many services offered by the Better Business Bureau at bbb.org.
For more than a half century, Tucson Gardeners Trust Green Things, a family-owned and operated retail and wholesale plant nursery offering an amazing variety of plants, trees, cacti, pottery, and so much more, all at great prices. The 13.5-acre site by the Rialto River is also home to the Zocalo Village, specializing in fine Mexican and Latin American imported furniture and art. Green Things open daily at 3384 East River Road and at greenthingsaz.com and zocalovillage.com.
Cushman & Wakefield Picor is Tucson's leading independently owned full-service commercial real estate company. Founded in 1985, Cushman & Wakefield Picor offers leasing, sales, and property management for industrial, office, medical, retail, land, and investment properties in Tucson and Sonora, Mexico. Visit our website at picor.com for the latest news from Tucson's commercial real estate sector. That's picor.com. Call us at 748-7100.
Welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show. Our thanks to the fire chief, Chuck Ryan. Always try to bring him in at least once every 6 months. Good to see the chief. Covered a lot of ground with Caitlin Schmidt from Tucson Spotlight. And Caitlin, for people who are just learning about the Spotlight, how do they find out more?
We are at TucsonSpotlight.org.
And it's in my mailbox every morning at about 5:45.
That's right. Yep. We try to publish between 5 and 6. A couple new stories.
I appreciate it. One of the stories you're covering, tiny homes are coming to a lot near you. Maybe not that lot, but there is a lot.
Yes, they are done. There was a ribbon cutting the other day. The residents, who are all young people that have aged out of foster care, will be moving in January. And I mean, I've been hearing people talk about tiny homes in Tucson since I started reporting here a decade ago, and by gosh, we finally have them.
How tiny are the tiny homes?
They are 450 square feet, and we got to tour them the other day, and I'll tell you what, it sure feels bigger than some apartments that I've been in. Uh-huh. They have really high ceilings and a lot of natural light, and they've just done a beautiful job with them.
It can get cozy.
It can get cozy, that's right.
All right. It kind of got cozy with the recount. It was close for Sheriff Nanos and for the
Heather Lappin.
Heather Lappin, yep. That was announced this morning. The original count was like the sheriff won by less than just a hair under 500 votes. Did he or she pick up some in the recount?
So he picked up about 30 votes and she picked up about 45. Mm-hmm. So he actually closed his gap a little bit, but it still, you know, didn't make much of a difference.
Mm-hmm. And I have rarely, in my nearly 40 years covering news in this town, rarely seen a recount that ever made much difference or changed an election.
Nope.
I can remember a congressional race. I think it changed maybe 10 votes. So they rarely change things, but by law, they are required.
That's right.
All right. So one of the other things you've been covering, Pima Community College now has a climate curriculum. You can take courses in climate change.
That's right. They have a whole suite of courses that they launched this summer. I think 7 of them now, and they're all general ed classes with no prerequisites. That transfer to all of our state four-year schools here. So the idea was to make them really accessible and to open up other career fields to climate education. These are principles that, you know, you don't have to be a climate scientist to care about how food fits into society. That can be something you worry about if you're a mathematician or whatever else.
Caitlin, just curious, because you used to cover University of Arizona athletics. In fact, you were nationally recognized with that 2019 Arizona Sports Writer of the Year award by the National Sports Media Association. You see the coach, the football coach, I think it's a three-year deal that when he started last year, he completed year one, very disappointing results, only winning four games. There had been such high hopes. Preseason, the Arizona Wildcats were in the top maybe 15, certainly ranked in the top 20. It just didn't happen. The athletic director has given him an extension. Presumably it's like 1 year to turn it around. Otherwise, they're going to make a change. And I was just reflecting, going back to Coach Dick Tomey, who was so well-liked in this community and really won a lot of games. I mean, he had a 12-1 season 1 year. And a lot of people didn't like the way it kind of ended for Coach Tomey in the year 2000. It seems like we've had a parade of coaches that we wind up paying off. I mean, a lot of money, yeah. Millions of dollars.
Yeah, we've several now.
Yeah. It just keeps, same old story.
Yeah, and it's tough to gauge performance in a single season.
To get rid of a guy after 1 year because then who are you going to hire? What coach is going to say, well, do I really want to go to the University of Arizona? They just fired the guy after 1 year. You had to give this guy more you had to give him just another year.
I think so. And it was a year of colossal change and issues. The financial crisis took center stage. Athletics got blamed for a lot of that. So, maybe let's give him a chance when there isn't as much noise.
Whole landscape of college athletics with the likeness deal where the athletes are basically getting paid. You don't see that trickling at least down to the women's sports yet, do you?
Not as much, certainly. I mean, we do have some. We had some college basketball players on the U of A women's team that got some deals, but it certainly didn't have the monumental impact on women that they sold us on it having.
Yeah. All right, Caitlin Schmidt, we'll look for your work at Tucson Spotlight. And again, it's easy. Just Google Tucson Spotlight, and that will get you going, right?
That's right.
All right. Have a great holiday season. Thank you for your participation in our Friday programs. Thanks.
You as well, Bill.
All right. Take a break right here. 101.7 The Drive presents our weekend watch. We've got Ken Carr sitting in the wings, ready to come in and do weekend watch. Be right back.
Noble Hops is Tucson's original gastropub, serving an ever-changing menu of craft beer and fine fare. Savor the majestic mountain views from the perfect for any season spacious patio at West Lambert Lane and North La Cañada Drive in Oro Valley. Order in or take out at Noble Hops, a pub for foodies. On the web at noblehops.com.
Tucson International Airport, we are nonstop for our community. Our main priorities are providing a safe and secure travel experience and excellent customer service. We are also nonstop for landing prosperity in Southern Arizona by attracting new flights for business travel and family getaways. When your airport thrives, our community thrives. So fly local, fly TUS. Tucson International Airport is nonstop for Tucson.
You can now review and comment on the Regional Transportation Authority's draft $2.46 billion Regional Transportation Plan at one of several upcoming RTA Next open houses. The draft 20-year plan includes roadway, transit, safety, bicycle, pedestrian, and environmental improvements for the greater Tucson region. It's your plan. Tell us what you think. Learn more and find dates for an upcoming open house near you at rtanext.com. The nonprofit Tucson Wildlife Center has been helping injured, sick, and orphan wildlife in Southern Arizona since 1999. They're dedicated to the rescue, medical care, and rehabilitation of sick, injured, and orphan wildlife, with the goal of releasing them back to their natural habitat. Around 5,000 animals a year come to them, as they are the only wildlife rescue in Southern Arizona. All made possible through donations. They receive no government funding. Please donate at TucsonWildlife.com.
Family owned and run since 1985, Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing is the gold standard for quality and professionalism for picture framing, custom frame mirrors, art for your walls, and hanging and lighting solutions. Come in for your design session or set it up electronically. Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing, Fort Lowell and Dodge, and now doing e-commerce at moesgallery.com. This is Bill Buckmaster urging my listeners to join me in becoming a member of the Reed Park Zoo, one of America's top zoos and home to more than 300 animals from all over the world. When you become a zoo member, you receive free daytime admission, discounts on special events and education programs, and so much more. Find out more about zoo membership and everything you need to know about your zoo visit, reedparkzoo.org. All righty then, it's time for Weekend Watch with 101.7 The Drive, presented by Silver City in Grant County, New Mexico. Looking real good over in Silver City. I think the 50s are great to go out and do some hiking in the Gila National Wilderness. Put your, maybe a goose down, down vest and get out there and enjoy the weather. Good weekend in Silver City, weekend highs, mid-50s, so very enjoyable. Pleasant temperatures. A little cool, but you want that when you're outdoors and hiking. Southwest New Mexico, the great starting place. Their website looking really good. And here's the good news, only about a three-hour drive east of Tucson for the start of your very enchanting weekend in the land of enchantment. Ken Carr joins me in studio now to find out, well, he's going to give us some terrific tips on what to do this weekend. Ken, how are you doing?
How are you?
I'm doing well. Let's zip into it.
The Tucson Tamal and Heritage Festival.
Yes.
This is at Casino del Sol, and it's one of the last events they do for the year because it, you know, gets chilly out at the amphitheater. But we're going to get some lucky weather tomorrow, about 70 and sunny.
Perfect.
Which is, if you like tamales, it's a perfect thing to do. So it's tamales, tamales, tamales.
I'm sure there's a wide variety of tamales, too.
And they also have a tasting contest.
Ooh.
So if you are a tamale person.
Tamale aficionado.
Yes, exactly. Live entertainment and arts and crafts and a farmer's market. It's just a nice event to bring your whole family to and stroll around and check that out. And, of course, if you feel like you're a winner tomorrow, you can always waddle over and check out the slot machines.
Some good eating, for sure.
Good eating and possibly good winning. Who knows?
There you go.
The Oro Valley Holiday Festival of the Arts and Tree Lighting Celebration is this weekend. That's at Oro Valley Marketplace at Oracle and Tangerine. And both tomorrow and Sunday, but tomorrow is the better day because they have the tree lighting ceremony. So they have holiday decor and live performances for you to enjoy, Santa Claus, and it's a, you know, picture opportunity, right? And a tree lighting ceremony that kicks off at 6 o'clock tomorrow evening. It's a really nice thing if you are trying to get into the holiday mood to kind of kick yourself into that direction.
That could kick start it, for sure.
Definitely. So nice thing for the Oro Valley folks. Tucson Holiday Ice is continuing through January 5th. Are you an ice skater at all?
Growing up in the Chicago area, I used to do some ice skating.
Well, you can do it right in front of the Tucson Convention Center, which sounds so wild, right?
I'm afraid that I wouldn't be standing upright for very long getting on skates again. But that's a long time ago. Go ahead, Ken.
Your ankles aren't as strong as they used to
no,
be.
No.
Well, there's ice skating in the desert, and your admission price includes the skate rental. Socks are required, gloves highly recommended, and you know, your best Dorothy Hamill impression is also required, but you might want to check that out. And one other thing I wanted to talk about was coming up next weekend. That's the Downtown Parade of Lights. And this is a really pretty big parade. And all of the entries have lights. It kicks off around 6 o'clock in the evening when it's getting dark. And they've asked me to be the announcer in front of Armory Park this year.
All right. You'll have a role then.
I have a role. And we'll be telling you all about the entries. And it's a lot of fun. We're also going to have the car that we gave away on the drive, the 73 Volkswagen Beetle, will be one of the entries in the parade. So you need to make sure you watch out for that too.
Yeah, what a classic car. And the winner, she just has when I love that picture when we saw her when the news came down. I'm the winner. Oh, my goodness. All right, Ken Carr, we will look for your work middays on 101.7 The Drive. We like your work very much. Thank you, Ken.
Thank you.
The Buckmaster Show is a presentation of Bill Buckmaster Communications, LLC, which is wholly responsible for the content of our program. Original theme music composed by my German friend, Christophon. Thanks to my assistant, Rosemary Brandt, engineer-producer Tom Fairbanks, the entire team here at KVOI and Bustos Media Tucson, Bill Buckmaster, along with the entire team, wishing everyone well. Have a great weekend.